Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo. Wow. Glad to see all of you this morning. Let's take a moment, stand, and greet each other this morning. If this is your first time with us, just wave. All right. We're glad you're all with us this morning. Any announcements that we need to be aware of? This is a first. All right. Prayer requests, praise reports.
Prayer requests. David Lovelace, son of John and Joyce, been in intensive care now. He's going into his ninth week. Things are not looking good. He started out with pancreatitis, and he's now got some other problems, and it's not looking good. So just David Lovelace and, of course, John and Joyce.
Ms. Sharpton is James Sharpton, our Margaret. She's in the hospital. They're not sure of her problem. Something to do with breathing, lungs.
Any others this morning? Let's pause for some silent prayer before we begin our service. The Lord understands each of these requests, and even those that we don't want to necessarily bring out in public, He knows our hearts. So let's bow before Him as we come to worship. All right. Our call to worship, stand with us. It is found in your bulletin. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? All nations will come and worship before you.
My heart I find an ease. For
came to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. You got a strange soul want to die. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He loves, my God is, my God is always gonna be. Yes, live and die and let me be. My strength, my solace from this dream, that He who lives to be my King must die to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so want to die. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that You were, that You are, that You will be, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for calling us to Your house to worship and to be instructed, to pray, to give, to receive, to encourage, to correct, admonish. Thank You. Lord, thank You that You came to be our Savior, saving us from all the sin that we have done and even our sinful nature. And preparing a place for us to live eternally with You. Thanks for those who brought the message, those who have carried the message through the centuries, and those who brought it to us personally, and that we can pass it on. And Lord God, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our call to confession this morning is from Psalm 103, verse 10. God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Our prayer of confession is from 2 Samuel and Psalms and Ephesians, and let's recite it together. O God of compassion, if You kept a record of our sins, who could stand? We come before You with our brokenness and our wounds for all to see. We bring our anger, our bitterness, our unwholesome talk, and our deceitfulness. We try to do good, but sometimes fail. We choose to do evil and sometimes succeed. Keep Your promise to forgive us when we confess to You completely. Without You, we have no hope. words of assurance are from Psalms 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Let's all turn in our hymnals now to hymn 26. A mighty fortress is our God.
Offertory sentence this morning is from First Chronicles. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Would our ushers come forward?
God in prayer. we can return a portion to your work in this world. Guide its use through the leaders of this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
you, Sam. Our scripture this morning is from Psalms and from 1 John. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Word of God for the people of God.
Do you find it a bit strange that someone like God, as powerful as he is, who he is, that he would care for people like us? And not only people like us, but all people. Care enough to send his only begotten Son. God is good all the time. He is above my comprehension. We know a bit about him. I believe in God. I hope you do too. Your presence here this morning says something about your belief in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Our lesson from Psalm 89 gives us just a taste, if you will, of what God is like. Somewhere along the way, I was encouraged to use illustrations. And I have difficulty finding illustrations that will illustrate what I am trying to say. I like just the facts, ma'am. But illustrations are like windows in a house. They let the light in on a message or a sermon. And people do remember illustrations when they don't remember the facts. So how would I illustrate Psalm 89 and what it says about God? And it has been a long time since I've been to a Baskin-Robbins ice cream park. But have you ever been to one? It used to be 32 flavors, I believe, or 30-something flavors. And back when we lived in Madison and the kids were small, we enjoyed going to the backside of Madison Square Shopping Center, and there was a Baskin-Robbins ice cream parlor. And we would go in and get our favorite ice cream, or we would get to taste various flavors to see if we liked them. And I see Psalm 89 is just being a taste of what God is like. A scripture lesson for a sermon in a worship service you wouldn't sit through, and we couldn't read all that we need to read if we said all that we could about God. Even a sermon about God, you cannot include all about God in one sermon. You cannot confine Him. He is greater than that. But that taste of ice cream, do you remember that little tasting spoon? Or maybe you have used it recently. It was just a tiny little thing, almost an insult. But even that taste was good. But you'd only get a taste. And then you would look there, and maybe you wanted, and this was as an adult. That was before I learned about Bluebell. Some of you remember that sermon. And I got accused of adding pounds to people for bragging on Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream. But that's all right, too. But the taste, you get a taste, and it'd be a new flavor. And there would be, was it a three-gallon bucket? A three-gallon bucket of ice cream there, and all they would give you is a taste. Unless you had some money to buy both of them. But then you didn't want to, you know, we called it hoggish or piggish. But anyhow, I'll use that bad illustration from Baskin-Robbins to say that you only got a taste when they gave you, let you try a little bit of their ice cream. Well, this morning, as we read Psalm 89 and even John chapter 4, those verses, we only get a taste of what God is like. We talked about God last week, a taste. We talk about God next week, if all goes as planned. You know, the greatest laid plans of mice and men sometimes can be confused, and God may come back before next week, but He may come in the person of Jesus to claim us before next week. Or something else may take precedence, may have a move in the Spirit. But a taste of God today, and especially from Psalm 89, it says a lot about Him. It says a lot about Him. There are 66 books about God and His dealing with people. People like you and me. Dealing with you and me. Dealing with His creation. We only read 12 verses in them from 7, 8, 9, and 10. Four verses from John. 1 John. In Psalm 89, well, Psalm John 1, John, 1 John 4, I'll get it right in a minute. 1 John 4, 7 and following, talks about God being love. God is love. The Psalm talks about God being, Psalm 89, these verses, pick it out if you will. Mighty. God is mighty. God is faithful. God is creator. God is owner of heaven. Wow. Who owns all that up there? God does. Earth. Who owns all of this earth? We just kind of rent a little spot here and there through our short term upon this earth. He rents it to us. And we won't get to keep it, friends. It will soon slip through our fingers. Slip out of our grasp. This portion of the earth that we have a title to, it is temporary. You knew that, didn't you? It is temporary. Righteous. He is righteous. Right. He is right. He does right. He is just. Where do you find justice? You always find justice with God, except when He shows His mercy. He shows His mercy. And He was still just because what we deserve, He let happen to His own Son, Jesus the Christ. He is ruler. He is power. He is strength. And He is love. But there's much more that we could say about God. So realize that today we only get a taste. Or a bit. There are words like omnipotent, omnipresent. Been talking to Patrick about it. He said, what is it? Omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He said, I like those three words about God. I think was his phrase. We're going to try to include them next week. Last week I said that God is alive. God is alive. And in the 60s, people were trying to promote the thought that God was dead. And I think I said that it was reported that Dr. Billy Graham said, that's strange. I talked to him this morning and he was very much alive. God is alive. I said it last week and God is alive this week. God sustains. He governs and He cares for the world that He created and that He owns. You know, some people can have a title, a temporary title to a tract of land, and they may not care for it. The house that I grew up in, it was always a beautiful lawn after we got a lawnmower. Bitter weeds only at the four. I remember them. But it's kind of gone to pot now. A straight line wind came down and blew down some of the trees at the back of the house, and then bushes and grass has grown up all around it. I claim it's my sister's responsibility since she assigned my portion away to her voluntarily. She didn't make me. And she even argued over me doing it, but I wanted to do it. But anyhow, He cares for the world He created much better than we're caring or she is caring for that land, and I should be there to help her. He shapes the whole history of the world. He makes a path for His people. He delivers, He saves, and yes, when His people get out of line, in order to call them back into fellowship with them, He will punish. Someone put it, God has a direct personal interest in the affairs of people. A direct personal interest in the affairs of people. God is living as opposed to God's made of stone or wood or metal that are made by the hands of man. The Lord is a true God, Jeremiah says. The Lord is a true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. Everlasting. You know how long everlasting is? Never ending, isn't it? Last forever. You buy a product in this world, we get a lifetime warranty as long as you own it, but non-transferable. But God is everlasting. And one phrase in the Bible says that He is from everlasting to everlasting. forever, eternally. At his wrath, this living God, at his wrath, the earth will tremble. And the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. He says, the gods, speaking of those man-made gods, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. God is alive, and he is active in this world. He did not create the world and, as somebody described it, fling it out into space and watch it run down like a clock that you would wind up and sit upon the mantle or the nightstand beside your bed. You remember those, I guess, don't you? They had big bells on top, and sometimes you'd get a metal dishpan and set it in it where you'd make sure it'd make enough noise to wake you up so you wouldn't miss work. God is creator. What if you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2? Wow. 6 days he worked in creation, and then chapter 2 talks about him creating woman. Explains chapter 1. The book of Job. Chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and 45, or through 45. I grew up with a confession of faith that had a catechism in it. And a catechism is a series of questions and answers, and then these about God and the Word of God. The latest printing of the Confession of Faith, the revision, did not include a catechism because nobody ever used it. But every once in a while, us preachers would go and read a portion of it. And maybe before that, we all at least remembered the first question. And the Westminster Confession has a larger catechism and a shorter catechism. Question and answers about God. Question 9 in the what we call the old catechism: what is the work of creation? What do you mean when you say God is creator? This is God making all things by the word of his power. He spoke and it came into being. And all very good. Go back and read Genesis chapter 1. God making everything or all things by the word of his power, and all very good. Making something out of nothing. The earth was void, without form. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 12, he made the earth, or he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. And he has stretched out the heavens at his discretion, like he wanted to be, like a righteous, just, all-knowing God would do. All wise God. God is alive. God is creator. God is one. God is one. We talked about many gods or the possibility of other gods that people worship. There are gods that people do worship. They're material things that people have made. And we may not take a piece of wood and make a graven image out of it, but there are things that we worship. It could be a mate, or it could be somebody that's not our mate, hopefully not. It could be, hopefully we don't even worship our mate, that we honor and respect them, but we realize that
They're not God. Sometimes it's probably as a 10 or 11 year old, it was our bicycle. And then about 16, it became the automobile or a motorcycle. Can you remember back where you teenagers? What is your object of worship now? After that, it becomes the big house. And probably the worst object of our worship was the television. How much time do we spend? We talk about children spending a lot of time in front of it, but adults too. When the television first came out, even people that didn't go to church would go down on Monday night or whatever night it was and see I Love Lucy and all those other shows. We'd sit there and give our attention to it. Yeah. And give hours and hours to it. He is one. I am the Lord. There is no other real God. There may be false gods. There is no God beside me. Capital G. There are a lot of things that we worship as gods. And then God goes on to say, I will gird you. I will gird you though you have not known me. God even cares for us and reaches out to us though we have not known him. That's Isaiah 45, 5. Isaiah 45, 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me, no other God. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. Three persons. God is one. One God who made himself known in three distinct persons as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. God is Spirit. God is Spirit, or God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him, His Word says, God's Word says, must worship Him in truth and in spirit. A description of the Spirit. What are you talking about? I used to think of Casper from the television show or the little cartoon show. But that's so limited. A description of the Spirit is found in Luke 24, and I believe it's verse 39. Jesus appears after his resurrection with the disciples. And he says, behold, or look and see. Look, my hands, my feet. It is me. Look and see that it is myself. Then he goes on to say to them, handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you have seen. He was there in a special body. Somebody called it the resurrected body. But he was also there in spirit. Direct contrast to a body. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he talks about, it's like the wind. You see the evidence of the wind, but we never see the wind. Direct contrast to a body. And somebody called it an invisible reality. Or real, but invisible. Not an abstract, not a thought, but a being, a real being, but in spirit. God is infinite, one of those big words. What does infinite mean? It's limitless. That's what it means. God is limitless. He is infinite. He is boundless. No bounds. He is endless in space. Endless in wisdom, endless in patience. And thank you, Lord, for being so patient with us. His patience. And in all of his attributes or characteristics, in all of his powers,
God is infinite. And God is a personal God. He has a personality, but He comes to us in a personal way. God knows. How many times have you said that or heard it? God knows, like, God knows all about us. And we kind of use it as a slang term. God knows that I tried. Or God knows that I didn't want it to happen like this. That's not the best way to use that phrase, God knows. God knows all about us. But we don't need to use, that's kind of using, that's, if it's not, it's pretty close to using His name in vain. Because it becomes so common. And that may be an opinion. But to me, it's pretty close to that. God knows. But God does know all about us. He is all knowing. God feels. Some people wanted to even say that when Jesus was on the cross, He didn't feel the pain. But He said, "Why have you forsaken me?" Asking that to God the Father. God loves. And 1 John chapter 4 speaks eloquently of God's love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loves us. And then Paul expressed it to the Roman church, said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, showing His love for us. God hears. One place He says that He is not deaf. The book of Isaiah. He is not deaf. His arm is not shortened. Those two go together. He is not powerless. He can still hear. And even those things that we say in the secret confines of wherever we do secret things, God hears what we say. God hears our prayers. He is not there. He hears our prayers. And this is all under God has a personality. God is a personal God who cares about us. God acts intelligently on our behalf. Does anybody care about me? God does, if nobody else does. And God acts on your behalf, and He acts in an intelligent way. You know, we may act ignorantly. It's like, don't just sit there and do something, so we do something just to be doing something. But when God acts, it is for good purpose. And God enters into a father-child relationship. Thus we can say, our Father. Our Father, which art or who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What about you and God? What about you and God? God sent His Son, Jesus. And Jesus came to earth to give us first-hand knowledge of God as well as heart knowledge of God. And we come into relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus, who gave His life to pay for our wrongdoing, our sin on the cross.
on Mount Calvary. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Even that in all of your power and majesty, in all of your perfectness and goodness, that you still look down upon us and you even came to live with us as one of us. Lord God, we're humbled by your love for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close this service with a worship song. It is, "Oh, worship the King," or "Oh, worship God of creation." And it's number 10, I believe. And it's, is that right? And it's verse 1 and 4 that I'd like for us to sing. And let's just express our commitment to, our faith in, our dependence on, our allegiance to the God that He has revealed to us in His Scripture. And maybe you would make a response to God, a public one this morning. And if that be your need, and you feel that God is so directing you and His Spirit is so calling you, I'll meet you here in the altar as we sing number 10, verse 1 and 4. Thank you. Thank you.